I invite you to turn your Bibles, if you have them tonight, you want to follow along to Psalm 115, and thinking about this being our last service of the year and the last day of the year, last night of the year, seeking the Lord's face about what to bring that would be appropriate and for us to consider the year past and to have what we need as a point from the scripture and from the Lord to continue on into this new year, 2020. My children have been helping me with memes. I need help with memes. You hear the young people laughing about that. I'm in a meme class with my children, and they send me memes, and then they explain them to me. I even have a niece that's helping me out with that, okay? And so sometimes I get it, and a lot of times I don't. But there was this meme that showed this fella, and maybe you saw it. It showed a digital date and time. He's sitting there looking at it and expecting the new year. It says 12/31/20, 11/58, 11/59, 12 a.m. You know what happened to the date? It went to 13/1/20. Okay, if you don't get that meme, get with me afterwards. And that one I get, I'll explain it to you. The year has been so different than anything that we've expected and had in our lifetimes that there is some humor in that because of just how, I want to use the word crazy, but maybe it's so different than anything that we've experienced in the past. And I think Psalm 115, and the first verse was on my heart, and that's what I want us to take a look at and consider of this previous year and the year to come. And as we are here, right here, as we are here at the end of this year and the cusp of the beginning of the new year, indeed it is true what the psalmist declares, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for mercy, for thy mercy and thy truth's sake. Our Lord is to be praised. He's the one to be glorified. And the psalmist declares, unto thy name give glory for thy mercy. And all the new perils that we've experienced and uncertainty at hand, he has carried us through. Our church has dealt, every family in our church has had something going on during the course of the year. Whether it's elderly to care for, a loved one, suffering from grievous illness, the effect and impact of the virus and the working of the government and all those things upon work, different things that we've dealt with just in our government and such. When we face these new things, and we wondered what tomorrow was going to hold or what it was going to be like in a week or a month later. Now, here we are from March to the end of the year, and our Lord has carried us through. He has carried us through. He's helped us. He's strengthened us. He's given us what we've needed. And that's the way the Lord does when he dispenses grace and is merciful unto us. He gives us what we need when we need it, not in advance. It's never going to come in advance. It's going to come right on time. And that's the reason that our Lord is glorified by faith, that we wait on him and we look to him for what we need when it's time. Not to feel caught before we're caught, like someone falling and needing caught. Not to feel caught before we fall, but to wait on him, knowing that he will take care of us and give us what we need. what glorifies him. And understand what we need may not be what we want, but he is working, as we'll mention here. So he's been so very merciful unto us. And remember, that definition of mercy is not getting what we deserve. As the Lord's children, we've been saved, and our Lord has paid our sin debt through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are his, and his wrath, his condemnation does not abide upon us. But as sinners, as mankind, as Adam's children, we don't deserve any mercy. But our Lord is merciful to us, indeed his children, moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day. He has carried us through. And so the psalmist declares, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, not glory to ourselves, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and thy truth's sake. This has been something here at Olmsted Baptist Church that in March and going into April and May, we took a look at what the scripture said about truth, what the Lord declares as his truth. And, you know, in our world, we've had many, many disappointments this year. Disappointments in the media. How there's this attitude that just is so sickening that willing to cut off their nose despite their face. And there's a willingness, there's a spirit of that at hand. Disappointment in our government, disappointments in our leadership. We've dealt that with that here in our state. Maybe you've dealt with that in your state and on the local level. A disappointment in the medical profession. Those in the medical profession, and there's no way that you can know what I'm thinking, but what I'm talking about here is those in the medical profession that have taken a Hippocratic oath to do no harm and always be a help, seemingly motivated by fame, infamy, and politics. It's sickening. It's sickening. We came to a point in our nation that we ask ourselves about the virus and all that. Do we really have the truth? We've got that. Do we really have the truth about it? Many disappointments also in the character of the citizenry. Just seemingly the media toying with the citizenry and provoking the citizenry to stock up on stuff where we have depletion of things, that there should never not be any need to have any depletion of things on the Just self. Truth and free speech trampled. You can't speak up now with an opinion, whether it's out in left field or maybe to some would make sense. If it's not according to the party line, it is pushed down. Even in this land, that free speech is a hallmark of the creation of our nation, but it's been trampled. Fear and those that provoke others to fear, just the gendering of fear. There needs to be information. It needs to be good information and truthful information, but it seems like there's some that are just gleeful about stirring up fear. The fear-mongers. And all that is disappointing, isn't it? I mean, it's disappointing. But you know what? In this year 2020, there have been no disappointments with our Lord. None. Our Lord is solid and steadfast and the same as he's always been. He's not moved. Not moved at all. He as always, has been faithful. We faced uncertainty. We wondered what it was all about, what we would do in particular things, how we would obtain the things that we need, what we will do going forward, all that, you know, and the Lord helped us. He's helped us in our families. He's helped us in our church, our churches. He's brought us through. I think as far as understanding what the perspective would be and what it would look like, if you were to ask us around the end of March, is what will December look like, we would say, I just don't know. But he's brought us here. And no disappointments in him. Amen. You know, we found in this that the Lord, it's been reinforced unto us, I trust it has been to you, that the Lord is the only one that you can expect the truth from always and forever. He is the one. And so the psalmist, as the psalmist declares, give glory to him for being so. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and thy truth's sake. And may we glorify him. Verse number 2, wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And so why should the heathen say, where is now their God? And you know what? May our witness not be one that they would say, where is your God? You know, when pressed and squeezed, we reveal the extent of our faith in our Lord. And the world around us sees that. And we need to use what our Lord's given us, and we need to use understanding and wisdom and prudence. But why should the heathen say, where is now their God? You know, our testimony needs to be of verse number 3. Our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. See, it is with mankind, but we're living here in this day where the subject is and the focus is, how is it with me? Or others would say, how is it with me? Self-centered, it's all about me. And if it's not good on the skin, then it's not good. If it is good and pleasant for me, then life is good. Well, we want it well, and we want it easy, and we want it good. That's a natural thing for us. And again, in these hardships, so many different hardships that have been experienced, and griefs and difficulties that many have experienced. But you know, our Lord knows all about them. He knows all about them, and he is and has been and will work what will glorify him in every case. I'd ask the church, it's been probably back in the summer, but we wouldn't choose these things to go through and experience these things, but can we say that God is wrong? Not at all. We evidently needed to go through this. We needed to go through this as much as we would never choose to go through this. We needed to go through this. And so what have we learned from it? What have we been strengthened in our Lord in it, by it? What have we represented to the world around us in that? Our Lord knows all about these things. You know, COVID didn't sneak up on the Lord, nor is it something that he is fretting about being able to handle? Or, oh, I never saw that coming. This has really got kind of haywire. I need to do something. Is that the way the Lord thinks or does? No, not at all. Whether this, and we can talk about what we believe and understand from the scriptures about the operation of the Lord amongst mankind, but whether this has been the Lord allowing wickedness and depravity just to run, I think that that's a good possibility. Our nation has said no God. So you know what you get when you get when you say and you stand in no God? Well, the Lord will back off, and then you get everything else that comes along with God not being present. Whether this has been the Lord allowing wickedness and depravity to run, or it's been his direct hand to bring such to us, he is in control. And as children of the Lord, we know this, and we need to know this. He's working what is best to glorify himself, purify the saints, his saints, and bring sinners to himself. We evidently needed it. You say, well, why did we need it? Well, you're dealing in a pay grade there that's not mine and yours. That's the Lord's business. What our business is as it is and as it comes, ours is to say, Lord, help me. Help me to glorify you. Help me to have the right attitude. Help me to do well with what is before me. Lord, help us. We need your help. And everything that we would need is help in. Because, you know, our Lord, have you been praying for those in your family to be saved, that the Lord would save them? Have you been praying that those that we know of maybe that are wayward, that the Lord would get a hold of them and bring them back to the church and they would get right with the Lord and get right with the churches that they have been put out of? That the Lord would break stony hearts and give hearts of flesh? Yeah, we pray for such, don't we? Well, you know, in some cases, things like this may be needed to reach people. So would we say, oh, I don't want that? Well, yeah, I know we wouldn't volunteer for it. We would never ask for it. But we pray that the Lord would work. And you know what? Sometimes it takes extreme things for the Lord to use to get people's attention. And we need not forget that. As it says in this verse, in verse number 3, he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And we can say that to the world, and we need to say it with confidence, that we might be a good witness of our Lord. Because that's when the witness is going to shine, is when it gets inconvenient and difficult and tough. Are any of us able to declare of a surety that we did not need these things? No, we can't. If our Lord brought them or allowed them, indeed we need them. Listen to what it says in verses 4 through 8. And this is the psalmist context. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. Verse 8, they that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. Graven images were the issue then when the psalmist wrote these things, and then the inhabitants of Canaan. Now we don't deal with graven images so much in our culture and in our setting here, our context here in the States, but we deal with the idol of self. It was self then. But you know what? Now the veil is off. And people, men, women, boys, and girls, our culture is just very, very honest. It's all about me. It's all about me. What pleases me, what I want. And so, think about how it is with the renown of the world and the great of the world. And again, using that word great doesn't mean it's good. But in our leadership, that is so much of our leadership, for example, or the entertainment or that, they're struck on themselves and they create and do great, great things. And then they point to that the people might be wowed. It's become the same kind of thing as a graven image of a sort, if you will. This is this accomplishment, this power, this influence. This is what it's all about. This is what we have done. What I have done. You know, so many times this year we have heard, we will make it. We will defeat it. We will prevail in our state. Our governor declared that and probably still declares it at every single press conference that he has regarding COVID. The thing is, it's not that we don't want to make it through. It's not that we don't want to prevail, but understand, and that's what our leadership needs to understand, and the people of our land and region and community need to understand, is we will not make it unless the Lord helps us to make it. Amen. We, us. There's been so little encouragement to petition God for our nation and community's help. And I trust that you, as the children of God, you that are here and saved, and your churches, I trust that you have been petitioning God to help us, because he is the only one that can help us. Amen. Not this world system, not our government, not our leaders, but so many are looking to what the just hanging on the words, the next words of the state or federal official. And what's been proven in just in this one issue of the virus of C-19, what's been proven is they don't know what to say at times, much less what to do. Because any one official or any one expert has given out a multitude of different points of view. And so the idol of self and the idol of the world and the way of the world and mankind, the world system, that's not where our hope is. Our hope is in our Lord. Verses 9 through 11. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The psalmist, he gives this contrast between the way of the wicked and the heathen, the deniers of God, the haters of God, the unbelieving, as we understand and know now, the unrepentant. And he contrasts that with Israel of his day. That's his context. And Israel and Aaron is the direction, is where he's coming from, the psalmist. But what is ours? What's our context? Churches of the Lord, trust in him. The Lord's churches are his institution, the institution that he has left here. That's our context, and that's who we need to trust in. The Lord. He is their help and their shield. Saints of the Lord, trust in him. Trust in him. Ministers, trust in the Lord. What's it say there? He says, he is our help and our shield. If we need deliverance, which we do, we need help with this thing. We need help not only with cure and prevention and the things that when you're in the midst of trying to avoid it or have it, but you know what we also need is understanding. We need prudence. We need wisdom on how to deal with it. So many foundational things have just totally been seemingly abandoned. He's our help. And he's also our shield. He's the protection that will not make any sense to the world. It won't make. Well, how is that person protected? How was it that nothing happened to them? Wasn't that the case with Israel? And how was it that we were defeated? The enemies would say. They just didn't understand how it was, but the Lord was the protector. And he is our protector even yet today. He is our help. And we as children, in his churches, as ministers, as saints, we need to trust in him and go to him for the help that we need. He is our help and our shield. Verse number 12 through 15, the Lord hath been mindful of us. See, in 2020, he's not forgotten us. He's not forgotten us. And we have gone to him, and he has answered and helped and given help and understanding and wisdom as we've taken the details to him and wanted to know what he would have us to do. He's been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. Again, that's the psalmist context. We desire the blessing upon our church and upon each member, the families of the church and the saints of the Lord. He will bless them that fear the Lord. That was something that I failed to mention in verse number 11. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. To reverence him. The Lord's word and what he says is not just good for the fair day, but it's indeed what we need for the difficult day. He's been mindful of us, and he will bless. Oh, understand again, Israel is in that time, and the nation of Israel is in that time, and with that Old Testament that the Lord had posed to them, obey me, serve me, follow me, I'll give you everything that you need. But we understand now in this New Testament, in this church age, that the blessing of the Lord to his children might be very, very difficult times on the skin. But the Lord will use that to glorify himself in us. That may be the case. He may give us the stuff of life and bless us with that, or he may bless us to suffer for his sake. That an identification with Christ even be more shown and revealed in this lost and dying world. That could be the case. But he will bless them, verse 13, that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more. Maybe it's not with the stuff of this life. Maybe it's not with convenience. But I tell you what, as we would maybe find ourselves suffering for him, the reward will indeed increase. And that's the Lord's economy. That's not me saying so or demanding or anything. That's what the Lord has said. You and your children. Oh, there is a point. Our reaction, our pursuit, our response, our going to the Lord or not is being watched by all these little ones. They are learning from us in this past year how to react, how to operate, how to go, how to pursue in a more difficult time. Because they will use what we did and our response, our purpose, our desire, our going to the Lord or not. They will use that as a guide for what they will do. And we want blessings for our children, don't we? May God help us. You are blessed of the Lord, and indeed we are, which made heaven and earth. He's the creator. Again, COVID doesn't escape the Lord to where I'm just kind of dark in knowledge about that area. It's not the case with the Lord at all. He knows. He knows how to help. He's been mindful of us. He will bless those that fear him and increase us in whatever way that glorifies him. We are the blessed of the Lord. I was reminded of this passage that I really enjoy, this passage in Jeremiah 9:24. You know, as things, we've experienced things in a way of saying it, things taken away. We never had we had thoughts about not being able to meet, being wrested from us from the government because of religious oppression. We've always had that view in our mind. We didn't know what it looked like. We've never experienced it. I have not. But then this virus comes along and we can't meet. And I tell you what, it makes us appreciate what we would say maybe the little things are. I've said this, especially early on in the year, just little things, common things, day-to-day things that we experience that were taken away because of the situation, and we couldn't have them then. We couldn't meet together. We couldn't see this one or that one. We couldn't fellowship. We had to resort to other kind of communication. We were separated. All those little things, things we never had to think about before, taken away, couldn't shake hands. Just things like that. Little things. And what a blessing it is, and it's caused me to be more sensitive to the blessings of the Lord, to think about what we would say, quote unquote, the little things, but the little things aren't little, are they? They're blessings from the Lord. They're many, they're varied, and we enjoy them so. And so, being a child of God and being blessed so by the Lord, and then we've had this test of having those things removed, so it's highlighted the multitude of blessings that our Lord gives us. But then think about the lost and dying world that doesn't have the touch of the Lord upon them yet. They don't experience that. They don't have the Lord to look to and all that, and the fear that is there as they are totally relying on self and the world system to come up with an answer. What a contrast. Now, these two groups, okay? Well, Jeremiah 9:24, "But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me." We were taken by surprise. We didn't like the things that were inflicted upon us. We wondered how terrible the thing would be. We wanted to avoid us and ours contracting such. But we knew the Lord was there and he was working and he was able. And what a blessing it is. He says, "Glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me." We know him, and certainly he knows us. We need to understand more about him, don't we? We need to learn of him. "That I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." That's what he does. And we who are saved, we know that. We know him. And these things of Jeremiah 9:24, loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth, that still happened in 2020. Even though the situation was totally different than what we expected or anything we've experienced in the past. In verse number 16 of Psalm 115, "The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence." You know, the psalmist starts out that, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but in thy name give glory, for thy mercy and thy truth's sake." He's speaking to the saints. All men should do so. "And we are indeed in the earth the ones to do so."
Because those are without Christ, those are without the Lord, the unbelieving and the unrepentant, they don't know to do so. Nor are they able to do so. But we are given the blessing to praise Him. And certainly those who die without the Lord Jesus as Savior and enter into hell and the lake of fire, they don't praise the Lord. But the children of God, rescued by the Lord, in glory with Him forever and on the new heaven and the new earth, it's given to us to praise Him. And you know what? We need to not wait till then, but we need to do so now. Now. Because see, He owns it all. And He's given us the earth for this little time. We live now and will live before Him forever to praise Him eternally. May we praise Him now. Then the last verse in conclusion, but we will bless the Lord, bringing it back to the saved, to the redeemed, the children of the Lord. The psalmist context is the nation. We would say the Lord's people, the Lord's churches. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Bless Him now for the way that He has helped us and blessed and worked in this year, even though there has been grief, of burden, of sickness, difficulty, uncertainty, passing of loved ones. Some are dealing with problems that are going to transcend from this year going into the year to come. But we need to bless Him. Bless Him and praise Him for the way that He's helped us and been to us in 2020. And bless Him for what He's going to do for us in 2021. On the skin, as a man, it may be worse, but we need to bless Him, look to Him, and praise Him. On the skin, as a man, it might get better. We need to bless Him, and we need to praise Him and worship Him indeed. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. More praise the Lord. And that's what we need to do. We need to praise Him. We need to praise Him and glorify Him. Again, as it all starts off, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory, give praise for Thy mercy and Thy truth's sake. May the Lord help us and bless us, continue to bless us in these things. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came and became a man and lived a perfect life. He didn't try to live a perfect life. He just did so because He's divine. He's God, come in the flesh. And He lived for 33 years and then He gave Himself on the cross of Calvary. He gave Himself willingly. He willingly was delivered by the Father, if you will, over to the hands of wicked men. And they did what's just natural for men to do. They put Him to death. They hated Him. The nation of Israel, the leadership of Israel hated Him. The world hated Him. But He willingly gave Himself on Calvary and paid for His people's sins there some 1900 plus years ago. Shed His precious blood. And even there, as He was taken and put on that cross, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He died there that day, willingly yielding up His life, as He told in advance. And He was buried in a borrowed tomb and lay there for 3 days and three nights to prove and to show that He was indeed dead. And then the third day, He took His life back again. He rose from the dead and lives forevermore. And He did so. He accomplished that It was told that he would, and then one day he came and he did so. And he lives forevermore. And if you're here and you're not saved, he completed and fulfilled his death, burial, and resurrection so that a sinner like you could be saved. How? By repentance of your sins before God and faith in this one Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Faith in his death, his burial, and his resurrection in a substitutionary way for you. Because you are the sinner that needs saving. Repent and believe and trust in him.